Hello, friends. Welcome to Thank Jesus Cafe. This is your Daily 10, and this is your host, Mark Day. Well, it is a beautiful day here in Danville, California. The sun is shining, blue skies, and we have a few of those puffy clouds. We've had a lot of rain in recent days, and the flowers love it. The roses seem to be particularly excited about having an abundance of water and sun. They're popping with lots of colorful life. Today, we want to continue our study of 1 John, so I'll begin by reading verses 12, 13, and 14 of the second chapter of 1 John. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Well, last time we gave thought to the Apostle John's word to spiritual young men, and I emphasized the importance of the sustained practice of Bible study, Bible intake, and the critical importance of actually applying those truths to daily life. Today we want to think about those who John calls fathers. But before we do that, I want to pick up on the concept of sustained Bible study and spiritual growth. Friend, if we are to grow in spiritual maturity, we have to actually want to grow. We have to actually want to change. First, we have to observe a need to change in our own hearts. And then we need to actually want to change. The spiritual growth process involves movement, moving from being dead in our trespasses and sins to being spiritual children, moving from being spiritual children to being spiritual young men, moving from being spiritual young men to being spiritual fathers. There's movement involved in the spiritual growth process. Being a Christian involves continual movement from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity. All of this has one great underlying feature, and that feature is that an individual would actually want to grow spiritually. That underlying feature is that a person would actually see the need to change and then actually want to change. We all have met individuals who either don't see any need for spiritual change in their own heart, or they see the need but don't want to change. Or perhaps they see the need and they want to change, but they're unwilling to put in the spiritual effort to change. Now, in the regenerated human heart, when the Holy Spirit miraculously enters into the human soul at conversion, the Spirit immediately begins the work of convicting us of our sin, leading us into repentance, and giving us a new interest in Jesus and the things of God. The Spirit guides us into new ways of thinking and living, and the Spirit does that work through the written Word of God. Transformation is part of the definition of being a Christian. We are a people defined by our relationship with Jesus Christ. We are defined as being disciples, imitators of Jesus, which, by default, means that we are each involved in a transformation process. Okay, we have to be careful here. For a person to claim to be a Christian, but then to see no need for personal transformation, for a person to claim to be a Christian, but then not to want to be transformed, well, that raises a lot of questions about that person's walk of faith. Why? Because transformation is a basic feature to what it means to be a Christian. God opens our eyes and we begin to see a need for change in our own life. And the Holy Spirit works in our hearts, prompting us to want to change to be more like Jesus. That's just part of the fabric of the Christian life. When there's no desire to change, when there's no observed need to change, well, as I say, that raises questions, honest questions, not hurtful questions. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the Apostle Paul wrote this, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So, discernment of the will of God, knowing what is good and acceptable and perfect according to the character of God, is a possibility for the born-again believer. But it takes transformation. Transformation from our natural born spiritual condition. Transformation of our sin-confused mind. It takes renewal of the mind. And this renewal is more than merely a formal education. It's more than merely memorizing a set of facts. It's interior change. It's transformation. And that transformation takes place in the mind. And this transformation of the mind happens when the mind is filled with truth, God's truth, biblical truth. Now, the fact is that many people really do not want to change. Some folks even think that they are beyond change or incapable of change. And that's unfortunate. It's unfortunate because we all do, in fact, need to change. We all need to change for the better. We all need to change to be more like Jesus Christ. We all need to grow into thinking more like Jesus. We need to grow into speaking more like Jesus. We need to grow into acting more like Jesus. And we all need to grow into being more like Jesus in our own character. No one has attained perfection in Christ-likeness, but still, we all ought to be on the pathway of growing to be more like Jesus. Friends, I'm belaboring this point today because of the actual real-world resistance to this reality. I so often meet people who resist these critical realities. They're either stuck in unbelief or they're stuck in spiritual childhood and they can't move beyond what they've always been. They're imprisoned in their past. There's no sunrise in their life because they're either incapable or unwilling to change. They're incapable if they don't have the indwelling Holy Spirit, or else they're unwilling, having been born again, but then refusing to engage in the process of transformation. This is a perplexing point because the indwelling Spirit puts within a person the God-enabled desire to grow. If that desire is not present in a person's life, then they either don't have the indwelling Spirit or they're resistant baby Christians. Look, interior heart change is a wonderful reality of the Christian life. It's a reality to celebrate. We no longer have to be stuck in our old patterns of thinking and living. Newness of life is possible. And, by the way, that newness of life has definition. Someone may ask, what is it that we're to be transformed into? And that's a good question. If transformation is a basic feature of the Christian life, what am I going to be changed into? Friend, we are being changed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's the Spirit-guided direction of change that I'm talking about. Growing to be more like Jesus. And that's a really good thing. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Friends, transformation in the Christian life is a transformation into being more like Jesus Christ. And as Paul says, that's freedom. True freedom is found in ever-growing Christ-likeness. And that freedom has many practical, real-world expressions. Okay, now for spiritual fathers, the third stage of spiritual growth. John says in verse 13, I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. And then in verse 14, the apostle says this, I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. Now these two statements are very similar. In both statements, John uses the word know, K-N-O-W, which is an English translation of a Greek word that means to come to know something by taking in knowledge. For the Apostle John, the object of the knowing is God himself. Spiritual fathers have taken in knowledge of God over an extended period of time. This is intellectual knowledge and experiential knowledge. the mind has captured some of the depth of the truths of God, and then those truths have been absorbed into the spiritual father's life to such an extent that it becomes part of them. They absorb God's truth, they apply that truth to their life, they have actual life experience living out that truth, and that truth has become part of their own character. The character of God has shaped and defined the character of spiritual fathers. Spiritual fathers have studied biblical truth, and they've meditated deeply on the depths of God's character as revealed in Scripture. Spiritual fathers have actually applied to their own life the truths they've come to know. Again, the character of God has shaped and defined the character of these spiritual fathers. Importantly, it is true that the born-again child of God never gets past their own conversion. Conversion is always basic and foundational in the Christian life. And it's true that the spiritual child of God never gets beyond studying biblical truth. The spiritual child of God never gets beyond studying and sorting through doctrinal truth as revealed in the Bible. All of this is part of the Christian life. But spiritual fathers have actually lived out the biblical truth they've come to know. And it's through the faithful, sustained application of biblical truth that a person comes to know God. To know God in the sense in which the Apostle John is speaking. Spiritual fathers intimately know God because they've seen God work in their own life. They've seen God work in the lives of other people, sure. But they've also had the actual personal experience of God working in their own life. Now, this is not some sort of mystical, weird, rolling around on the floor, out-of-body experience. It's an experience of consistently living in obedience to biblical truth, living in obedience to biblical precepts, living in alignment with the character of Jesus, and then actually experiencing God's faithfulness in their own life. So, the spiritual knowing that spiritual fathers possess is a beautiful intertwining of intellectual knowing and experiential knowing. The spiritual father has regularly applied himself to the study of biblical truth. He's thought deeply about those truths and applied himself to the discipline of prayer, being in fellowship with God, and in faithful Christ-like obedience. The spiritual father has applied those truths to his own life. Application of truth is a defining characteristic of a spiritual father. They not only know something intellectually, they apply it to life, experientially. This sincere, intellectual, experiential knowledge makes it possible for spiritual fathers to speak wisdom into the life of others. They speak from a deep well of biblical reflection and experience. This experience is more than mere life experience. Everyone gains some kind of life experience, and this may or may not be helpful to others. The life experience we're thinking about here is the experience of God working in a person's life. This type of knowing, this type of knowledge and experience isn't limited to chronological age. It does take some time, but faithful obedience to the truths of God may take place at an early age, or it may take place later in life. The goal of all believers ought to be to become spiritual fathers. Once again, these principles apply to both men and women. The goal of all born-again children of God ought to be that they become spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers. Spiritual fathers and mothers speak godly wisdom into the lives of others. Spiritual fathers and mothers lift others up by reminding them of God's faithfulness and God's goodness. Spiritual fathers and mothers help others grow in their knowledge of God, and they do this out of the experience of their own Christ-centered life transformation. We'll finish today by listening to the words of the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Thank you for joining us in Think Jesus Cafe. This has been your Daily 10. It's come to my attention that we have a few listeners in Sweden, Finland, and in the UK. We want to pray for these friends that they would continue to grow, as Peter wrote, in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Join us again next time as we think about Jesus, a biblical worldview, and real life.